se tukaj dogaja? Kaj so to naredili? Meni nič ne gre skupaj. Kaj je sploh tukaj fora? Oh, zdaj končno štekam.
Štekar, oddaja za stresanje političnih možgan.
Ne štekaš tajvanskega parlamentarizma. Tajvanski parlament, v katerem ima od januarskih volitev večino opozicija, je sprejel reformo, s katero si je povečal pooblastila pri nadzoru vlade. Po novem lahko poslanci ustanavljajo parlamentarne preiskovalne komisije, predsednik države pa se mora vsake toliko javiti v parlamentu in odgovarjati na poslanska vprašanja. Kar ne zveni kot nikakršen unikum za parlamentarizem, je sprožilo najbolj množične proteste na Tajvanu v zadnjih 10 letih. Vladna demokratska progresivna stranka pa svari pred vračanjem v čas partijske države zdaj opozicijskega Kuomintanga. Ustavno sodišče je izvajanje sprememb parlamentarne zakonodaje prejšnji mesec že zadržalo. Na koncu razsodbo o ustavnosti še čakamo. Zakaj je reforma sploh sporna in kaj je v ozadju, ugotavljamo v tokratnem štekarju. Sprejetje reforme so poslanci izglasovali praktično takoj po nastopu vlade predsednika Lai Ching-teja. Za parlamentarno reformo so skupaj glasovali poslanci opozicijskih kitajske nacionalistične stranke, krajše Kuomintang, in tajvanske ljudske stranke z angleško kratico TPP. Na januarskih predsedniških volitvah je zmagal kandidat demokratske progresivne stranke z angleško kratico DPP in po 2 mandatih nasledil predsednico Tsai Ing-wen iz iste stranke. Toda na parlamentarnih volitvah je stranka izgubila večino, ki jo je uživala zadnjih 8 let. Lai Ching-te tako zdaj vodi manjšinsko vlado. Kitajski nacionalisti v opozicijskih strankah so se takoj namenili izkoristiti svojo novo osvojeno premoč nad liberalnejšimi tajvanskimi nacionalisti v parlamentu. Njihova reforma omogoča parlamentu, da ustanavlja preiskovalne komisije, ki bi lahko zasliševale člane vlade in druge osebe povezane z domnevnimi nezakonitimi ravnanji vlade, kar lahko vključuje tudi predstavnike vojske, civilno-družbenih organizacij in zasebnih podjetij. Preiskovalna komisija lahko zahteva v pogledu dokumentacijo povezano s primerom. Od predsednika parlamentarna reforma zahteva, da se na 30 dni zglasi v parlamentu, da predstavi poročilo o stanju v državi in odgovarja na poslanska vprašanja. Reforma tudi spreminja kazenski zakonik s kriminalizacijo tako imenovanega nespoštovanja parlamenta, za kar predvideva denarno kazen do 10 000 evrov in zaporno kazen do 3 let. Sam seznam novih pooblastil parlamenta za liberalni parlamentarni sistem ni nenavaden, z izjemo kriminalizacije nespoštovanja parlamenta, ki pa jo poznajo Združeno kraljestvo in druge anglofone države nekdanjega britanskega imperija ter Hong Kong. Slovenski premijeji se še niso pritožili, da dolžnost periodičnega odgovarjanja na poslanska vprašanja posega v njihovo neodvisnost od zakonodajne veje oblasti. Tu nastopi pojem nespoštovanja parlamenta v obliki, kot jo uvaja reforma Kuomintanga in tajvanske ljudske stranke. Kot nespoštovanje parlamenta novi člen kazenskega zakonika opredeljuje prikrivanje informacij, izmikanje odgovoru, predstavljanje lažnih informacij in odgovarjanje z vprašanji. O tem, kaj šteje kot prikrivanje, izmikanje ali odgovarjanje z vprašanji, bi poslanci presojali sami in namesto državnega tožilca z navadno večino sprožili pregon. Nova preiskovalna pooblastila parlamenta komentira urednik portala New Bloom Magazine Brian Hugh.
So the attempt is to prevent government from functioning. The KMT is unable to win presidential elections at present, but has a narrow majority in the legislature. Though most accounts do not suggest the KMT actually won the popular vote, based on districts, for example, and proportional representation. But because it can't actually win the presidential election at present, instead of waiting another 4 years and having compelling candidates and a compelling platform, instead the attempt is made to peel away powers from other branches of government, such as the judiciary or the executive branch of government, and put this under legislative control because of the fact that, again, there's this slim majority. And so the attempt is to prevent the stable operation of government. And it's really to be seen what happens next, because there's very deep polarization in Taiwanese politics at present. The KMT also would use the new powers to target political opponents, whether in civil society, from opposing political parties, or from corporations, and et cetera. And so a sign of this has already been observed, for example, in trying to frame media outlets that report critically on their actions as having corrupt relations with the DPP. And so it's kind of a very clever strategy to frame this as merely investigative powers, because this takes place in the same time frame as the KMT calling for the revival of institutions used to investigate politicians to target them politically during the authoritarian period, but then putting this under legislative control rather than judicial control.
Sogovornik pojasni še, kakšne bi lahko bile posledice preganjanja nespoštovanja parlamenta.
It's a very ill-defined term that legal experts have raised concern with, contempt of the legislature. So what does that mean, for example? One of the terms that is used is reverse questioning. That is to say, perhaps it means speaking back. Reverse questioning is a very undefined term, though. What does it mean? For example, you ask clarifying questions, is that speaking back? And so it's seen as potentially allowing for the legislators to just fine people or even put them in jail. It'd be more fines, but you can have additional fines to perhaps bankrupt people. And so it'd be the fear is that this would be used as a means of legal threat, that contempt of the legislature is so defined that then you can use this to target individuals that you don't like. And I think that's the concern. So that's become actually one of the rallying calls of the demonstrations against this, which are among the largest in the last 10 years, with 100,000 taken to the streets for protests that gathered 100 a week prior. Mostly students, actually, college students and high school students. And one of the slogans is, I am in contempt of the legislature, because it has angered people, I think, because of the fact that it's seen as a throwback to authoritarian times in which the KMT used such powers to target political dissidents.
Poslanska skupina stranke DPP je kritizirala opozicijo, da je usilila glasovanje o reformi, ne da bi prej opravili javno razpravo o njenih posameznih točkah. Tudi parlamentarni odbori po trditvah poslanske skupine predloga reforme niso obravnavali po pravilnem postopku, ampak pospešeno in netransparentno. Z vsebinskega vidika kritizira pooblastilo za ustanavljanje preiskovalnih komisij, češ da krši načelo delitve oblasti, saj ima po obstoječi zakonodaji to moč že sodna veja. Poleg tega si je parlament v primeru nespoštovanja parlamenta podelil tožilsko funkcijo. Direktorica Inštituta za tajvanske študije na Univerzi v Nottinghamu, doktorica Li Qingyi, ocenjuje, da je postopek sprejemanja reforme večji problem kot prelaganje pooblastil z ene veje oblasti na drugo.
In the past years that DPP, the governing party of Taiwan, was also considering whether to incorporate investigative yuan into or investigative power into the either executive power or most likely executive power in that sense. And for the second reason that it is a unique development of Taiwan, which has five powers separated. As you know, most of the democracies actually only has three powers. So in my view, actually, of course, it is a debate whether investigative power should be incorporated or not. But the major issue still lies into the KMT and the TPP. Actually, the two opponents, they align together and to oppose of the DPP, which actually was the consequence of the legislative US election results. As you know, that Taiwan has, or the governing party holds the minor or minority seats in the legislative yuan. And that was the issue here, lies within the heart of it. Investigative power, whether it's separated or not, I think it was the implication of it, but not, in my view, not it is not the core issue of it.
Preden je ustavno sodišče izvajanje sprememb zakonodaje zadržalo, so poslanci Kuomintanga in stranke TPP ustanovili dve parlamentarni komisiji. Ena bi preiskovala korupcijo v primeru podelitve dovoljenja za oddajanje televiziji Mirror TV leta 2022, ko so Kuomintangu obtožili vlado DPP, da je favorizirala sebi naklonjen medij. Druga bi preiskovala ravnanje vlade med lanskim pomankanjem jajc. Tudi sicer v Kuomintangu navajajo večinoma korupcijske afere, ko govorijo o svojih inšpekcijskih načrtih, toda realnejši problem za kitajske nacionaliste iz časa večine DPP-a v parlamentu predstavljajo ukrepi, ki so jih demokratski progresivci uvedli proti samemu Kuomintangu, naprimer zamrznitve in nacionalizacije premoženja stranke. Hu predvideva, da bodo Kuomintangovi parlamentarci preiskovalna pooblastila uporabili tudi za rušenje vladnih ukrepov proti stranki.
They have not yet gone after the party assets bill using the new powers, but I think that they will eventually. Interestingly enough, the party assets of the KMT are controversial enough that some party chairs in the past stated that they viewed the KMT as needing to get rid of them, actually. And so it's not necessarily an issue that really resonates with the political center, but the KMT has really kind of used the new powers to try to go after domestic scandals, or what it claims to be domestic scandals. For example, as I mentioned, regarding media outlets that reported them critically being approved for a television broadcast, but then also the egg imports that the Tsai administration pushed for because Taiwan was seeing shortages as a result of the avian flu, from many chickens dying off, but also efforts during COVID-19 to ramp up production of medical masks. And the KMT claims that such measures, though they were attempted to alleviate shortages, were because of political corruption. And there's also the issue of vaccines, because Taiwan initially did not have vaccines the way that Western countries often did. And so Taiwan, the government, put a lot of energy into efforts to boost the domestic vaccine development of Medigen, which was Taiwan's domestically manufactured, developed, and produced vaccine. But the KMT at that point in time during COVID-19 leaned into vaccine skepticism, saying that this only occurred because of the Tsai administration having illicit ties to Medigen. And then when Taiwan had vaccine donations from AstraZeneca from the US, for example, the KMT claimed that this was because the US didn't want AstraZeneca because it's dangerous and causes blood clots. So far, it's mostly been very domestic scandals that the KMT has really tried to magnify. But I think eventually they will try to go after the party assets aspects, transitional justice as well for past crimes of the KMT during the authoritarian period. The KMT views itself as in a position to use the new powers to peel back anything that was done in the last 8 years. And so, for example, pension reform, that the Tsai administration's pension reforms to prevent the pension system from going bankrupt, but which decreased pensions for traditional demographics that support the KMT, such as veterans or police or teachers or public servants, that's another thing they might try to roll back. But it might not necessarily take place through the investigative powers either.
Kuomintang je ena najbogatejših političnih strank na svetu. Na prelomu tisočletja je imela stranka v lasti vsaj 5 milijard evrov premoženja. Danes ima uradno prijavljenega pol milijona milijarde evrov premoženja, a je 97% tega premoženja zamrznjenih. Odločitve o zasegih in zamrznitvah premoženja kitajske nacionalistične stranke sprejema vladna komisija za partijsko lastnino na podlagi zakona o nelegitimno pridobljeni partijski lastnini. Zakon je bil sprejet po volitvah leta 2016, ko je DPP prvič dobila večino v parlamentu. Demokratski progresivni stranki so zakon upravičili s tem, da bodo tako izničili nepošteno prednost Kuomintanga in zagotovili enakovrednost političnih strank ter pravično tranzicijo v demokracijo. Zakon določa nacionalizacijo oziroma renacionalizacijo lastnine političnih strank ustanovljenih pred letom 1987 ali lastnine z njimi povezanih organizacij, za katero Komisija za partijsko lastnino ugotovi, da je bila pridobljena nelegitimno v času diktature, na primer s prenosom državne lastnine na stranko. Zakonite vire dohodka političnih strank omejuje na članarine, donacije in državne subvencije za financiranje volilnih kampanj. Zakon Kuomintanga ne omenja neposredno, toda do leta 1987 je bil Kuomintang poleg dveh priveskov edina legalna politična stranka. Nazadnje je vlada konec januarja nacionalizirala dve podjetji, ki jih je imel v lasti Kuomintang, in sicer centralno investicijsko družbo in delnice podjetja Xinyitai Company. potem ko pritožba stranke na tajvanskem upravnem sodišču ni uspela. Komisija za partijsko lastnino je večino premoženja stranke zamrznila zaradi razprševanja finančnih sredstev med različne račune po sprejetju zakona o partijski lastnini. Pomen tega premoženja za Kuomintang pojasni sogovornik.
The KMT traditionally held power because it had so much more economic resources than the DPP. A lot of these properties are from property seizures during the authoritarian period. And in the process of Taiwan's democratization, the KMT transferred some assets into private hands, knowing that if the DPP ever took power, they were likely to try to come after them. And this is a very large set of holdings by the KMT, everything from real estate, for example, various karaoke parlors in Taipei or elsewhere, buildings, for example. The Chinese Women's League and the China Youth League, for example, are institutions that from the authoritarian era, they're very linked to the state. And they benefit directly, for example, from taxes that are levied on products from the U.S. And so it goes back to the kind of unsettled legacy of the party state. The KMT does not have as much money after the DPP as a party that came out of the democratization movement and from the grassroots has not had a lot of money in comparison. It still operates, but then that puts it more dependent on large and powerful wealthy politicians such as Terry Goh, the founder of Foxconn. And so it actually does depend. But the KMT is definitely much more an advantage if it does have access to this pot of resources. And as the KMT has successively suffered crises in the past decade, and there are various split-offs and splinters within the party, one of the reasons that it has kept together actually is the party assets, because people don't want to lose that or their potential to access that if they're part of the party. And so it does actually depend. But it's very hard, I think, for the KMT to really leverage on that with the public. I don't think the public really is as a fan of the KMT having so much assets.
Po obdobju de facto dvostrankarskega sistema je na zadnjih volitvah odločilno manjšino sedeža v parlamentu osvojila Tajvanska ljudska stranka. Preiskovalna pooblastila proti vladi in njenim uslužbencem potencialno lahko onemogočajo posamezne, po mnenju kitajskih nacionalistov, nezakonite vladne ukrepe. Toda proti kuomintanško politiko DPP lahko poslanci Kuomintanga popolnoma odpravijo samo zakonodajno, za kar potrebujejo podporo Tajvanske ljudske stranke. DPP večinoma glasuje skupaj s Kuomintangom, iz katerega izvira večina njenih članov, in je podprla tudi parlamentarno reformo, katere večji del je sestavil Kuomintang. Koliko je zavezništvo med opozicijskima strankama dejansko zanesljivo, pojasni Li.
These two parties, KMT and TPP, Taiwan's People's Party, they align together many to fight back the DPP in that sense. But to a larger extent, we could also say that the TPP, the Taiwan's People's Party, is sort of a light blue. If you could understand that blue is a KMT's color, green is a DPP, the ruling party's color, and the TPP, Taiwan's People's Party, is a light blue. So it's ideologically closer to the KMT in that sense. But I would say actually TPP also wants to cut the share for their own party. The alliance with the KMT wasn't really because they wanted to work with the KMT. Otherwise, the TPP's party leader Ke Wen-je would run the joint bill with the KMT during the election. He didn't after so many negotiations. So TPP was for themselves, but it just conveniently to align with the KMT to attack DPP. So it is not because of the ideology they are aligned together. It's because of the convenience of the political interest. The TPP wouldn't go along with the KMT all the time. They pick and choose the fight they wanted to be. They are hedging between KMT and DPP. As I said earlier, that they choose to align with the KMT at the parliamentary reform bill because they wanted to attack the DPP the most. We can't take for granted that TPP aligned with the KMT for sure. They are hedging power. They understand that they are critical minority in most of the parliamentary bills to be passed.
Predsednik Lai je spremembe zakonodaje najprej vrnil v parlament v ponovno obravnavo in parlament jih je še enkrat potrdil, tako da jih je bil konec junija prisiljen podpisati. Ob tem pa je tudi vložil pobudo za presojo ustavnosti in zadržanje izvajanja reforme. Ustavno sodišče je sredi julija soglasno zadržalo izvajanje sprememb. Za dokončno odločitev o ustavnosti postopka sprejemanja reforme in njene vsebine ima ustavno sodišče z upoštevanjem možnosti podaljšanja roka čas do začetka januarja. Celotno trenutno zasedbo tajvanskega ustavnega sodišča je imenovala prejšnja predsednica Tsai Ing-wen. Toda sedmim od 15 sodnikov oktobra poteče mandat. Ustavne sodnike predlaga predsednik, potrjuje pa jih parlament, v katerem predsednikova stranka sama nima večine. Poslanci Kuomintanga so v začetku julija tako predlagali spremembo zakona o ustavni pobudi, po kateri mora za doseženo sklepčnost zasedati vsaj 10 članov sodišča. S tem bi lahko preprečili ustavnemu sodišču, da reformo v predpisanem roku razveljavi, če tega ne stori pred oktobrom. Pol leta po zadržanju bi spremembe ponovno stopile v veljavo. Če reforma uspešno prestane obravnavo oziroma potencialno neobravnavo na ustavnem sodišču, ima vlada še možnost, da skliče referendum za razveljavitev sprememb parlamentarne zakonodaje. Po Hjujevem mnenju bo zgodba svoj epilog najverjetneje dobila že na ustavnem sodišču.
It would still be the majority opinion of the courts. And so the KMT reacts to that by trying to push for new laws that would specify that you need to have at least 8 or 10 justices, depending on the version of the law. To make a majority opinion, because the plan then would be to block any justice from being approved once you do have those term end in October. And so then you can prevent any decision from being made by the constitutional courts in order to block that from occurring and preventing these new powers from taking effect. Interesting enough, actually, the way the courts were originally set up was that it was not just presidents appointing the judges. It'd be kind of staggered between political administrations. And that way you would end up with some that are more green and some that are more blue. But that change under Ma Ying-jeou, the former president, in which he just pushed through with KMT justices. And so because he did that all at once to increase his own powers, what happened was when those justices' terms ended, it ended up being just that they're all DPP appointments after that. And so that's the that was the outcome. So I think the KMT will continue to cry foul, but I also don't think that they can just overthrow the judiciary overnight because these systems are there. And the judiciary does not always rule in favor of the DPP, but I think in regards to this issue, it's large enough and I think flagrant enough that they probably would not be in favor of the new powers.
Sredi maja, še preden je parlament dokončno izglasoval sprejetje reforme, se je v Tajpeju začelo protestno gibanje proti širjenju pooblastil parlamenta. Na prvem protestu se je zbralo nekaj 100 ljudi, do konca meseca pa se je po besedah organizatorjev protestov udeležilo več kot 100 tisoč ljudi. Protesti so dobili ime Gibanje sinje ptice, kar je ortografska besedna igra z imenom ulice, kjer se nahaja parlament in kjer so protesti potekali. Qingdaoska cesta. Gre za najbolj množične proteste na Tajvanu od let tako imenovanega gibanja sončnic leta 2014, ki je na vrhuncu mobiliziralo 500 tisoč ljudi. Takrat so protestniki nasprotovali trgovinskemu sporazumu s Kitajsko in zasedli parlament. Tokrat protestniki niso izvajali enako radikalnih akcij in dogajanje ni neposredno povezano z vprašanjem odnosa s Kitajsko. Temveč gre za notranje politično vprašanje. Razloge za množično udeležbo pojasni Li.
The protest started in May 17th, actually, before the new president Lai initiated his inauguration speech. It wasn't against Lai, it was to against this very bill of legislative yuan's reform. Or parliamentary reform, if you like, the bill of parliamentary reform. It was because, as I just indicated, the two opponent party, Rivalry Party, KMT and TPP, they aligned together to force this reform bill to pass without discussion. Now, the protesters, compositions of them actually are of all age, not just about the young generation of the students, but also for the generation of the elderly or the people with families, because Taiwanese citizens really do not accept such illegitimate or undemocratic process of pass reform bill. I mean, it is right to cause or to initiate the bill or any kinds of the reform bill, that's no problem. But it has to go through the thorough discussion and scrutination of the whole party. But this bill was passed without much of the discussion.
Protesti pred parlamentom so se nadaljevali še v juli, vendar z manjšo udeležbo kot v prejšnjih dveh mesecih. Hugh protestom pripisuje odločilno vlogo v razvoju dogodkov.
I would actually say the protest movement is the major reason why this has become such a large issue. There has not been a protest in 10 years that grew from about 100 people to 100,000 people within 7 days. And so if you look at the proportion of the population that's close to Taiwan's population of 23 million, 100,000 in the streets is not insignificant. And so since the Sunflower Movement, which is one of the largest social movements, if not the largest movement in Taiwanese history, 10 years ago in 2014, there have not been as large protests. And so that is actually what led this political crisis to become so large, because there are people demonstrating against it, and the KMT was still intent on pushing through with it, because many of its actions call to mind 10 years earlier. And so the DPP itself actually would not have gone so hard on this issue if not for the fact that there were the protests occurring. And so the other thing is they really show what young people think about the KMT. A few years back, the KMT had less than 10,000 members under 40. It's a very old geriatric party, and they're growing increasingly older. And even though recruitment is up in the time since then, what one sees with these protests is that they're mostly, or many of them, are high schoolers or college students. And so that has really shown what young people think about the KMT. It's still viewed as a pro-China party and one that has not learned the lessons of its authoritarian past and which continues to try to overthrow democratic institutions. And so I think that also shows that a generation is coming of age in Taiwan and the KMT has again failed to appeal to them. In fact, that they quite despise the party.
Kuomintang finančno propada, ker po 8 letih vladavine svojih političnih nasprotnikov ne more več koristiti dediščine Chiang Kai-shekove diktature, medtem ko se starata tako njegovo članstvo kot volivci. Poskus, da skupaj z ideološko sorodno stranko z večino v parlamentu poveča svojo moč nasproti vladi, DPP pa bi mu lahko volilno bazo še dodatno zmanjšal. Dosedanji razvoj dogodkov po letošnjih volitvah na Tajvanu na kratki rok predsedniku ne obeta lahkega vladanja, na dolgi rok pa Kuomintangu ne obeta lahkega preživetja. Štekar je pripravil Matej.
Joj, kaj se tukaj dogaja? Kaj so to naredili? Meni nič ne gre skupaj. Kaj je sploh tukaj fora? Oh, zdaj končno štekam.
Štekar, oddaja za stresanje političnih možganov.